Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I think the whole update was dumped anyway. It's okay.
No. It's, well, great.
Max, no.
I hope it was. That was crazy. Like,
well, it's not your fault, Mackenzie. I'm showing a lot of chest hair today.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's,
well,
it's
when
a
she
lot.
Said, you know, it's, I tried being like, I bothered you too much before the update's my bad. And then she was like, no, I looked over at Nick.
And it's just,
and then
it became obvious
to everyone in the room. There's a lot of chest hair that's showing right now.
You know, she dates boys. There's a grown man. I'm a family man. It's not used to being around. You're family man.
That's
Max,
right.
Also male. There's just so much manhood here.
Yeah.
And she's just used to dating college boys. And that's okay.
That's all right.
Right? You're
all
not
right.
used to this kind of chest hair. And I get that.
Check out YouTube, by the way, if you want to see Nick's chest hair.
Wait, let me.
Well, I didn't. That wasn't an invitation to show more chest hair.
Well, no. I didn't unbutton. You know what?
No.
Do an extra button there.
Just, I'm trying to get people.
Yeah, that's
to
for the chubby chasers
YouTube.
Out there on the YouTube channel. You know who you are. Let's get to the lead. Browns analyst Nathan Zagura joined the morning boys. I bet you he's got a nice patch.
I don't know, Nathan. I don't know. I don't have chest hair.
You shave.
I mean, I have a little bit of chest hair.
You shave it.
No,
though.
I don't shave it.
You don't shave it.
I don't shave it.
You're unshaven.
I'm unshaven.
Okay.
I just have never grown much chest hair. And so I always live with the assumption that most people don't have chest hair, even though obviously like 90% of people have way more chest hair than I have.
I think I have the best chest hair at the station.
I feel like we should do like a live YouTube live waxing of the chest.
No.
Why?
Because I'm a man.
I wanted to do this.
Because I'm a grizzly bear of a human being. That's my appeal.
Is
there some kind of bet we could do?
What bet?
I don't know. Where whoever loses.
I know you're used to hairless, but there's a class of women out there, including my wife, who like this. If I shaved my, or if I got this wax, Vanessa would be legit pissed.
She likes the rug, huh?
She loves it.
So the lead.
You would be in a lot of pain, though. I'm thinking like the no Kelly Clarkson thing with Steve Carell.
So Nathan Zagura talked about the vibes in Berea following Paul DePodesta's departure from the organization.
I think that it was a bigger surprise to people outside the building than it was inside the building. I don't think it means anything beyond that Paul DePodesta is going to run the Rockies. I think people are looking at saying, oh, does this mean things are going to change for Andrew Berry or Kevin Stefanski? And my answer to that is no, certainly not right now. The vibes in the building are we need to win football games. And you've got an opportunity to do so against the Jets this Sunday. This is a stretch in the schedule here where if the Browns are going to try to turn this season around, you know, this is the time to do it. And they've got to start Sunday against the Jets team that's won once this year and just traded away its two best young defensive players this week.
And it's a Jets team, not only with just one win, and it came in week one of the season. And that was on a Steelers late, like 61-yard field goal on top of it. Nathan's right. You got to get this win. This is the win you have to get.
Well, and I just think the next 5 weeks, right after this, the Ravens game could be tough. Then you've got the Raiders on the road, and then you've got the 49ers and Titans at home. You should come out of this at 3-2.
There's three very winnable games in there. The 49ers game could be more of a toss-up than anything. It'll be interesting to see where that one ends up being by the time we get there.
Let's be fair and say 2-3. But It's not just the record. You need to stay competitive. Like, early in the season, it's a miracle that having four blowouts in four games has not sunk you. Like, there's only so many amount of blowouts that a team can take at any given moment, and I think in the second half of the season, that becomes more true. And so Kevin's got his work cut out for him, but again, like, if you go 3-2 in these next five games, that's going to give you five wins on the season, and people are going to feel awfully plucky going into the final four games of the season.
Myles Garrett spoke with the media today. He was asked about the Browns' actions at the trade deadline and if he was aware of the Eagles' reported interest in him.
End of the year, are we still focused on winning? We're still trying to win. We're all still online. So however we can figure that out, I'm all on board. No, they agreed. You know, we still are in agreement on that. I wasn't concerned with anything involving a trade with me or anybody else on this team. Now I was just focused on feeling better, getting my head in a better space after the week before, and I'm trying to find a way to continue bringing it every week. And I got nothing to do with me. You know, how we and the Eagles choose to talk about and to talk to Andrew about, that is a no concern until they bring me into the room. And until then, I'm going to focus on this team. But I haven't heard any of those talks. I don't beat into any of those talks. And I have a team to help lead and help try to find a way to win every week. And no focus on the Jets.
We had we played about 2.5 minutes of Miles from his press conference. That's a snippet of that 2.5 minutes. When it comes down to it, I wouldn't have any concerns if I was Miles anyways. I'm making $40 million a year, and I can say no to any trade that is offered. But it is interesting that Miles was given multiple times to refute that report or refute any interest in being moved. And Miles basically was like, yeah, it's not, nobody brought anything to me. We're good.
Mm-hmm. And it's what I would do if I was Miles as well. I don't think Miles wants the conversation to go away. I think Miles likes having this conversation. And I also think Miles likes to keep the door open for in the offseason. If they don't do what he wants them to do, then he's going to basically go back and do the same thing he just did last offseason.
Yeah, and I think he likes it, not just because of that, but I think Miles likes wielding his power.
Yes, he does. He clearly does.
And in fairness, he has earned it.
He's earned it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So somebody's got to. There's not a quarterback that can do that. There's not. Maybe Wyatt Teller or Joel Bitonio could do that. I don't even know those guys, because offensive linemen generally don't do that. So somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to try and lead.
He did seem more despondent today, I thought. I don't know if you picked up on that as well. It seemed more, not like a beaten or broken down Miles, just more of a subdued Miles. And maybe this, the reality is sinking in that it doesn't really matter what he does for this season. He's not on a very good football team.
My buddy Shimmy saying 92.3 The Fan on YouTube is now surpassed OnlyFans for him with all that chest hair. Sweeping the nation. Sweeping the nation. And there's food in there too, guys.
And we're much cheaper.
I don't like this cost. All right. This is valuable.
Did I devalue the chest hair? Is that what happened?
You devalued
there? Oh, I thought it was more like, what a bargain.
I don't think anybody ever wants to be like, what a bargain.
What a bargain.
I don't think there's ever been a clownitude out there that's been like, you know what he said after the business was transacted?
Yeah.
Called me a great bargain. it just means your negotiation skills are not great.
I think they're like, did we get my money? I got my money. We're good.
We're paying for your buck.
Literally, yeah.
I mean, Mac, it's a family show. Connor Rogers of NBC Sports joined us last hour. We asked him about the Browns' handling of Shedeur Sanders since drafting him last April.
If you're the Browns right now, you need to get a look at everything you possibly can, because you're going to be going into a draft where you might have to make another quarterback decision. And I wouldn't want to go into that draft saying, well, I never even got a look at Shedeur. Well, then why'd you even draft him, right? And this is a larger conversation way at the top. Where was the divide on who wanted him, who didn't? What was the plan for him? Did they have one for him? And that's a very, very frustrating conversation for me as somebody that evaluates all these players every year, right? Try to get to well over 300. And I feel like especially getting to talk to, about 45 of them one-on-one at the combine each year, I generally have a good idea of what guys can and can't do, what the development plan should be for them, and it just blows my mind. Billion-dollar organizations, and this isn't crediting me, it's really just discrediting them, billion-dollar organizations with massive staff and all these things don't have the right plan for all these guys or put guys in, square pegs and round hole situations. And it just feels like the Shedeur case is kind of a waste of everyone's time. Is that egregious to say?
It's interesting because I really do feel for some of the draft community, not in a like, oh my gosh, they should be losing sleep type way, but more like, it does kind of stink when they tell everybody that Dylan Gabriel is the 10th best quarterback in the class, the same way that Connor Rogers had him ranked in his rankings, and his rankings are all posted right. They're pinned at the top of his Twitter, so it's easy to just see where he had everybody. But he had him at 10th, and then I would imagine when he got taken in the third round, a lot of people were like, you got this wrong. Mm-hmm. Where were you wrong? And then he watched as the Browns continued to say, not only is he not the 10th quarterback, he's better than Shedeur Sanders, your number two quarterback. And I just imagine the draft community took a big offense to all of this, especially now that you've seen that Dylan Gabriel through four games does not look anything more than what they told us that he would be.
I think 6 months into Shedeur being a Cleveland Brown, and I don't think there's any way the Browns can beat the allegations that they've handled him in a dysfunctional manner. Meaning that that it's apparent with the way they've treated him and the uphill battle that they forced him to run that not everybody wants him to succeed the same way. That doesn't mean guys want to fail. They're just not invested in his success because they didn't like him in the draft process, which is very commonplace. And I'll dare say, I don't know if I don't think they want him to fail because I don't think that happens in the NFL, mm-hmm. or at least the way I think fans think it happens. But I do think they're trying to humble him. And I think that to me is where it's like, by making him earn every scrap, the thing that sticks in my head is there are people in that organization that fear Shedeur could become like Baker. And it's like, I think we all know what the connotation is. Don't love that. Mm-hmm. This is the organization that refused to help Baker Mayfield grow up. So maybe we can look at this as they're trying to do right by Shedeur. Still incredibly infantilizing to hold your pre-draft thoughts on a kid over his head after he's actually in the building.
Yeah, former Browns quarterback Josh Booty was on with Baskin and Phelps today. He talked about the competition between Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders.
Dylan was like, wow, I wonder why they would draft a guy to be in the quarterback room right after they drafted him. So, I mean, looking over your shoulder a little bit, and then the media, of course, you know, glorifies, of course, the Shedeur draft pick, you know, and his status in the national spotlight stuff. I mean, all that, it's got to be hard on Dylan, and then Shador's got to go prove himself too because they're not paying him as much. He was a guy that maybe should have been drafted early and people didn't want to jump in there on him. So, I mean, it's tough for both of them, to be honest. You know, Shedeur's not going to get the reps, and Dylan is a good hand. He's a gamer. We all know that. He's like a little Steve Young type of guy, a player. He plays hard, you know, scrappy. I hate that both of them are having to kind of deal with each other in the locker room. And, you know, that's a tough situation, man, because unless they have a good friendship, it's going to be rough every day in there because they're both just going for it.
Yeah, I no tears shed, but that was good, Booty.
The Steve Young comparison or what? What was good?
He really
is a gamer.
Good Booty.
He's a gamer.
That's good booty. Hey, I had an opinion.
Not like classic Booty.
I don't agree with him. All right, but that's not janky Booty. That's good Booty.
That's
right
good
there.
Good Booty.
Because he's got an opinion. He sticks by it. I just happen to not share that Booty opinion.
Can't get that for a cheaper price on YouTube.
Macwell. Donovan Mitchell came to the defense of Jared Allen this week after the Cavs big man had a double-double in his return from a finger injury on Wednesday.
This dude goes to work every day. He gives us his all every night. He played all 82 through all injuries last year. Had to force his ass to sit out the past two games. Like, and then has a night like tonight against two tough bigs. He's phenomenal. He doesn't get enough credit.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer, first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
That the credit that he deserves. This dude is really important to what we do. And I hate the fact that he gets crap for that. Like, you know what I mean? This man has he's grown each and every year that I've been here. He's a joy to play with, joy to be around. And yeah, man, he's a hell of a player, hell of a person.
Agreed. He's a walking double-double. I've always thought he's underrated.
So we'll get back to the. I actually have a question to go along with that in the 6 o'clock hour, but Aditi Kinkabwala, CBS Sports, joins us in 5 minutes. We'll talk about Browns-Jets, her take on the state of the Browns post-Paul D. Podesta. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Get it right the first time. If you can't do that, get it right the next time. Nick Wilson here for Bookman and... We got plenty. We got Paul D. Podesta, no longer with the organization, gone back to baseball, and to talk all things Cleveland Browns. Get some NFL talk as well. We head out to the fan hotline and welcome in one of our favorite guests on the station of CBS Sports, known for her time covering the AFC North. Aditi Kinkabwala joins us. Aditi, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Do you always say that? Do you always welcome every guest in by saying one of our favorite guests?
No.
No, it really doesn't, Aditi.
JP, really? Like, can you tell me if that's really true?
I'm being honest with you. Yeah, no, that's...
Most of the time I tell him secretly I loathe him.
I'm not saying he never does it. He does do it, but I also notice he does it every time with you because it's true.
Well, okay. Then I will take that. I will choose to believe that.
You really got no other choice. Aditi!
Fair enough.
What was your reaction and what's your read on Paul D. Podesta leaving the Browns organization to go back to baseball and joining the Colorado Rockies?
Time for a new challenge, right? It's been, what, nine and a half years that he's been with the Browns, and there hasn't yet been that moment of great success. So I'm sure that those are his roots, and that's exciting, and therefore... off he goes. And clearly the Browns are saying that he helped create some foundational things that are helpful and they can build off of that.
The timing of it is interesting, though. Do you think this was D. Podesta's decision as it's been framed, or do you feel like he just knew the writing was on the wall? Baseball jobs are opening up this time of the year, and so he just needs to get ahead of it.
I think that that's exactly what it is, right? This is the time to get a baseball job. It's sort of, that's the hiring cycle. So why would you sit here and say, okay, I'll wait till the end of the football season. Baseball jobs will be filled by then. So I don't see a conspiracy theory in that.
Aditi, I know that opinions on this are kind of spread across the landscape here. At 2-6, I know a lot of people came in thinking Stefanski, Barry, not in jeopardy at all. Is that how you felt at the beginning of the season? Is that how you feel now?
Well, didn't Jimmy Haslam give Diana Russini of The Athletic a vote of confidence for Kevin Stefanski?
I believe so.
Isn't he on the record having said, yes, that Kevin hasn't been dealt the greatest of hands and we believe in him and the coach that he is?
But he also added in that stretch there, Aditi, he did also add that you find out in the bad times whether or not people are good enough for the jobs, basically. And so, like, this would be one of those bad times where he could then go back and be like, well, I reassessed, and he didn't do enough there.
Of course he can. I mean, that's his prerogative to change his mind at any point. But, you know, I think this move to ask Tommy Rees to call the plays is completely diametrically different than a year ago with the Ken Dorsey move. And I think that this is really a reflection on how much Kevin wants to win and how egoless he is, and that, hey, I think Tommy can bring something different. I think that maybe there's something that, you know, like this is a young coach who is extremely bright, who is very well thought of for many reasons, who Kevin Stefanski wanted for many reasons. So let's see if that gives us a spark. And I think that's a great statement on who he is.
I have a reason for wanting to ask this, Aditi. At what part of the week do you typically talk to everybody? I know you're always talking to people, but at what part do you typically talk to the players, the coaches, and everyone in anticipation of the game on Sunday?
We will officially talk with the visiting team, which is the Browns, tomorrow on Saturday.
Okay, because I was trying.
We'll have our production meeting with them then.
Okay, because it has been a different week, and it's been a very I don't know. I want to see your vibe. But this is pro Stefanski, almost pro, like we're backing the coach here, because Wyatt Teller has come out and has talked about wanting to retire here. David Njoku's doing the Wolf of Wall Street, I ain't leaving speeches. Yeah. It's been an almost awkwardly optimistic week, all things considered.
You know, I'll tell you, it's interesting because, of course, this is the Jets. So we've had conversation with the Jets about this, and the Jets made some major, major, major moves this week. And I don't think that anybody could doubt what Quinnen Williams gave to the Jets. But he openly acknowledged that the losing had gotten to him and that he was tired of the losing and that it was significantly affecting him. And we had this conversation. I talked to Garrett Wilson, who is one of my all-time favorites, yesterday. And he was saying to me how from the minute that he's been drafted, he's felt this responsibility to turn this thing around, and that he feels like he's failed so far because he hasn't quite yet turned it around. So we were talking to Aaron Glenn, and I was asking him about this, you know, like sometimes you love a player and a player means so much to you, but can you acknowledge or recognize when the player's just had too much? Versus, do you believe it when a player really wants to be a part of it? And Aaron Glenn said, there's no right answer here, but people are wired differently. And there are certain players that get very, very bogged down by the losing. There are certain players that just recognize that they're maybe not themselves anymore. And then there are other players that are just so driven to wanting to be a part of the turnaround, not wanting to go someplace else where somebody else has established a culture, but wanting to be a part of the flipping of the switch. So I say all of this to say, I think it's a really, really true thing. And I haven't had the conversation with Njoku, but maybe when he says that, that's part of it. Maybe he's put in this much time and he's like, this place is going to turn at some point and I want to be a part of it turning. Maybe that's it.
Aditi, looking to Myles Garrett, he met with the media today, and he kind of sidestepped some of the questions about the trade rumors that were out there, the Charles Robinson report that Howie Roseman was hot on the trail of Myles Garrett, willing to offer three firsts. And it was interesting because, again, he didn't lean into them, but he certainly didn't lean away from them. I know they just ended because of the trade deadlines passed, but should we expect the Myles trade convo again to start this offseason?
I mean, I think that that's a little bit of the nature of Myles' personality, right? I mean, we had it last year. We're having it now. I don't know. He hasn't unequivocally said, no, I'm committed to completely being a part of this. I really fully 100% believe it'll be turned around. I see the vision. If you don't say that, then you're always leaving the possibility open.
Aditi, you did mention the play calling earlier. What do you think the difference will be in going to Tommy Rees?
You know what? I'm actually really interested to see. I don't know. I genuinely, having not had the conversations yet, I don't want to speculate, but I think that there will be some differences. You're not going to see a wholesale difference on offense, obviously. You can't do that midstream like this, and you can't do that with a rookie quarterback. But obviously, this is a move being made because there's an expectation that it's not going to be more of the same.
Aditi, we know you're on the sidelines for Browns-Jets this weekend. I got one more, and I do want to ask about some of the other teams here in the AFC North as well. But specific to this game, we look at it from our side of like, well, you should win this. Like, we're almost discounting the idea that they could lose this because of the trade deadline, because they're coming off the bye, right? The Browns have a lot going. They're favorites on the road, which I don't think they've won. How many straight is it again, JP?
12 straight road games.
12 straight road losses. Yeah. So I'm just, you look at this. So that's how we look at this game. How do you look at this Browns-Jets game?
Yeah, I would warn you against that because I was on the sideline for Bengals-Jets and we thought that was a Bengals game going away and then the Bengals couldn't tackle anybody and look at what happened. So this is the National Football League. I know it sounds like a cliche, but anybody can win any given week.
Why is Aaron Glenn being so cagey about the quarterback situation?
I mean, that's what he wants to do. So he's a first-year head coach. He thinks that that helps him in some way. And, you know, against the Bengals, it did, because the Bengals did have to devote a day of practice to Rod Taylor, who operates a little bit differently than Justin Fields. And their young rookie linebackers, the Bengals' young rookie linebackers, had to spend a little bit more time watching Taylor tape that they wouldn't have otherwise. So clearly it worked.
So looking around the division, I thought the Steelers are going to be really good this year, and I feel like I was the only guy that kind of bought into the Aaron Rodgers thing. And here they are, two games up in the division, and it seems like people are like, "Yeah, the Ravens are going to win this thing." I'm just curious, from your standpoint, are you surprised that at 5-3, coming off probably one of their best wins they've had given how the defense played, are you surprised that maybe more people aren't buying into the Steelers being able to take this division this year?
Well, part of it is because Lamar Jackson is the best player in the National Football League, and he elevates everybody around him. So now that he's healthy, how do you possibly count out the Ravens? And then the other part is that, yes, the Steelers defense did indeed play much better this past weekend, but prior to that, there were a string of disappointing performances. So how do you say, okay, done, they're here, you want to see them stack a few good performances. Let's see what they do against the Chargers and Justin Herbert. Stack a few good outings in a row, and then you say, okay, the defense is fixed. The defense is better. The defense is not the defense that we saw on the five-game slide at the end of last year.
Yeah,
you can't really make a definitive statement after just one game.
Yeah, but the defense is such the confusing part. So that's like Nick and I did. We always got in arguments in the offseason. I didn't think Aaron Rodgers would be as good as he's been, mainly because I just saw him with
that
the Jets.
That was your mistake.
And that was my 100%. 100%. I've owned that. Hand up,
I
my
mean,
bad.
I mean, look at how good Joe Flacco is with T. Higgins and Jamar Chase and Chase Brown.
Okay, that's too
what
soon.
He looked like with the Browns.
That's too soon, Aditi.
I mean,
that still stings.
But that's the reality. That's the reality. Like, for people to sit here and say that Flacco was washed and old, well, no. Maybe he just needed a functional offense around him.
Oh, we've even taken that a step further. Now I've actually taken it so far, I'm now of the belief that this has dampened the belief in Joe Burrow across the league.
That's a whole other conversation. Maybe we can have another call about that one.
Okay.
Kind of like that conversation right now, Aditi.
But I did. I said, hand up, Aaron Rodgers. I was wrong about that. That's what's so surprising to me about this. But more importantly, I thought if Nick was going to be considered right about the Steelers this offseason, it would be on this defense, that Tomlin has put the top six highest paid players on his team on the defensive side of the ball. And yes, they had a lot of turnovers against Daniel Jones last week, but they really had struggled, Aditi.
I mean, they have, but that's a given. That's been for a few years now, right? And Mike Tomlin set the standard in training camp. He said this could be a historic defense. So you're raising the bar to right there. Anything below that is a disappointment. And, you know, it's schematically, they've not changed a lot. They're not doing a lot of surprising different things. And sometimes you get old fast. I'm not willing.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm going to say that they've gotten old fast, but sometimes you need to evolve a little bit.
Aditi, I was very annoyed when about 2 weeks ago, the Tomlin's going to get fired if he doesn't win this division. Harbaugh's going to get fired if he doesn't come back and make the playoffs. Just because I feel like I just feel like we've done this so many times, and it just feels like an evergreen thing that the national media tends to do. But you've covered this division for long enough. When you hear some of the things that have been said this year, does it feel like it does to me, which is old hat? Or do you think that those are two interesting head coaching spots to watch the rest of the season?
No. I mean, well, definitely not Mike Tomlin. When Mike Tomlin leaves Pittsburgh, it will be because Mike Tomlin has decided to leave Pittsburgh. That's that. He will exit. There's no other way that happens. There's a greater chance of Steve Bisciotti saying that it's time to move on from John Harbaugh than it is from Art Rooney saying that he wants a different head coach. And Steve Bisciotti has already put John Harbaugh on notice. You know, he did that once in the year that Joe Flacco, in fact, got hurt and Lamar Jackson came in as a rookie and started those final 7-8 games, whatever it was. So that's more likely. But again, on the scale of, you know, it's so easy to sit here and denigrate the coach you have, but then you really have to ask what else out there is that much better? And is it just about the coach that you have tweaking a few things, evolving and growing?
Yeah, no, that's fair. We've been trying to figure out quarterbacks already because this is just kind of the world that we're living in. And the past couple of days, Kyler Murray's come up. Earlier today, Brock Purdy came up.
Mac Jones, don't you dare forget McCorkle.
It's kind of like whichever one San Francisco decides. It's a weird situation in San Francisco right now, Aditi. We can't figure out what exactly is happening there. It seems
Tua.
Like Tua's another of them we got to bring to the table. Like these aren't bad quarterbacks, but they also don't invoke
these
a lot of confidence.
These are not your answers. This is not the Cleveland Browns should not be going after Kyler Murray or Tua Tagovailoa. That's not the answer.
Are you a heightist too, like Peter Lynn?
I am a heightist. I like my quarterbacks taller.
No, because I'm a very short person myself, and so I would never sit here and say height is the be-all, end-all. Look at Drew Brees, but no.
I saw the irony in it, too.
A variety of other ears.
Having stood next to you, and you make me feel like Andre the Giant at training camp. Thankfully,
that's my superpower. I said that to Johnny Manziel once. I said, my superpower is that I make everybody look tall.
And my superpower is I make most people look skinny.
Yes. There you go. All right, guys, I hate to do this, but I'm pulling into the airport.
All right. Be good, Aditi. We appreciate
you. Thank you, Aditi.
Thanks so much for having me. I think that maybe there's something that, you know, like this is a young coach who is extremely bright, who is very well thought of for many reasons, who I wanted, who Kevin Stefanski wanted for many reasons. So let's see if that gives us a spark. And I think that's a great statement on who he is.
That is Aditi Kinkabwala, CBS Sports Network. She'll be on sidelines for Browns Jets this weekend. And that was her read on Kevin Stefanski going to Tommy Rees. And I think it's interesting. I think there's been a lot of people spinning that this is a real positive thing. Well, that's what Sunday's about. We talked about this a couple times this week. All right, this is about, you know, we got to spark the offense. We got to get that win. Then you better spark the offense and go get that win.
Yeah, spark definitely was the term of the day when it came to what people expect out of this. Will they be upset if they're? It just seems like everything is normal, because like Wyatt Teller kind of made it seem like everything is just going to be normal.
I think I'm a little leery of the over the top cheerfulness and what was being sold this week in Berea.
Okay.
There were a lot of good vibes.
Almost to the spot that it went too far. I called it awkwardly optimistic to Aditi.
Yeah, I mean David Njoku, Wyatt Teller, even like the Browns on the last couple of days, I feel like Jim Schwartz went out of his way to butter Myles Garrett's bread, like in a way that it's like, I can understand, like you want your best foot forward.
They all had like a group chat or an email that was like, hey, we're going to be positive this week, guys.
Well, like Tony Robbins showed up and was like, well, if you don't think positive, you won't get positive results. Like that, like, but it's a little over the top. It's the only kernel of doubt that I have about this Jets game is it's like, you guys are really pushing it in a way that feels almost collegiate. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It's almost in a way of like, I'm almost not believing you anymore at this point. What's interesting for this game as far as the play calling, though, Nick, the Jets can't really stop the run at a great rate. And so here's what I think is going to happen. I think they're going to run the ball a lot with Quinshon, and I think it's going to make the play calling that Tommy Rees is doing. I think a lot of for the fans on Twitter, and I think for a lot of the fans that are just sitting on your couch, you're going to be like, hey, he gets it. This guy at least runs the ball with Quinshon. And because the Jets don't stop it at a prolifically high rate, they've allowed the seventh most yards in the NFL in a yards per game basis with the rush. I think Quinshon will look good. And I think in turn, this is going to be a pretty good debut for Tommy Rees, because all fans want is for them just to run the ball. He's going to run the ball, and ultimately they'll look better.
And by the way, that's fine. Like, as long as you win, and as long as you win in the way that the Browns are talking about, wow, we got to be more explosive. It's like, well, you have to be proficient at everything. The problem isn't just the lack of explosive plays. It's you're not proficient in the basic necessities of what you need to do. Things like running the ball consistently, or even connecting in the short passing game, which can make up for lack of...
Like, I know, but it doesn't feel like every big-time play we're going to see on Sunday, or every play of consequence, people will be like, Stefanski wouldn't have called that there.
Oh, that'll be. And by the way...
It's going to be really... It might even get annoying to me.
Let it happen. It's almost like the style points conversation. The narratives that are going to come out of this game are going to be probably loaded one way or another. Actually, they're probably more loaded if the Browns win than if they lose, because if they lose, we're just going to continue on with the narrative we've had. Mm-hmm. That's fine. All that matters is you win. This is a game that I know they're all must wins, but go out and win this game, and let's get that week off. Now you've extended the bye week pump up into another week. Because here's the thing. If you lose after the positive Patty kind of push that they've made,
yeah.
This feels like Mary Jane's last dance, no?
I mean, it's not great. But then again,
I love Tom Petty.
It's not as if there's going to be a last dance anytime soon. Like with them coming back out of the bye, everyone surviving outside of Di Podesta out of the bye, they're going to have more opportunities.
We'll see. I think now that Di Podesta is gone,
are you putting a mid-season firing still on the table?
If you lose to the Jets game. Like, if you lose this Jets game, it's got to become a conversation.
It's already been a conversation, but are we putting...
I mean, like, it's got to be... You and I've had the conversation, but they haven't told anyone else, right? Like, they haven't let anybody
It was important that I noted for Aditi that the Haslam-Russini conversation was highlighted to me, not by the vote of confidence for Stefanski, but the idea that he put the line in there of, I care about what happens in the bad times.
Also...
These are the bad times.
It's an ownership vote of confidence which means nothing.
Means nothing. Nothing at all.
It's paper without being backed by something substantial like a currency, like gold or silver. I know what currency is, Mac. Shut up.
Mac was questioning your currency?
I saw the look in his face.
Is Bart Winkler look in his face?
Hey, it's Bart Winkler. 216-474-0092. Let's go with Josh. Josh, welcome to the show, Josh.
Oh, hey, thanks, guys. Oh, look, yeah, you guys were talking before and added to about Miles and his power and stuff. And I'm thinking the way he said the inevitable and how he couldn't stand that. I mean, I know Stefanski thinks, yeah, if you play Madden, you can call plays, whatever. But, I mean, if you're in playing Madden, you're down 30-13, right? Are you going for two? No, you're gonna kick the point and hope that you possibly get an onside kick, which they did. Then the whole team has a little faith in you. I know he didn't have faith in anybody in that case. Even Nathan and, Andrew couldn't even figure out why he did that. So, yeah, the guy, I wanted him fired a long time ago, but, for him not to call plays is the best thing in the world if you're, making a stupid decision like that. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Josh, we appreciate you.
Josh, the thing I think is interesting, and it's funny because we have not gotten to that. The clip today that Stefanski out there, he'd said, exactly as Josh said, if you've ever played Madden, you can call plays too. And it almost just dumbed down his profession in a way that I didn't appreciate. Not that I need to stick up for his own profession, but it was just like, if you think it's that easy, if you think it's so simple, then why aren't you better at it?
Also, if it's that easy, why didn't you ever give Alex Van Pelt a chance?
Great point, too.
Van Pelt here was
if Van Pelt got crumbs in the preseason, years. And that was it. That's all. Yeah. You had to wait for the preseason games to get it, and you'd never give it to him. Why? Because there's a difference in play callers, and it matters. It obviously matters. And to dumb it down to the idea that anybody could do it, I thought was beneath you. I thought it was a bad look by Stefanski. I think it'd be like if a radio host was out there being like, well, anybody with a mic can go ahead and do a 5-hour show. It's like, well, all right, don't you have to at least pretend that you do what you do is of consequence, or at least has some skill or some talent or some ability?
I just think that there's a lot of polish, and this happens. The Browns are really good at this. They deserve credit for this. When moves like this make, they've certainly done this with the Dee Podesta thing. We're like, Paul just wanted to go back to baseball. He's just a ball guy. He just loves baseball. They're so good at polishing a bad thing and trying to spin it into a good thing. But here's the beautiful thing about football. Kevin being selfless and egoless, and here, Tommy, it's your book. You call it, buddy. You're better than me. You big, me small. The best part about football is we'll see how much all this matters, the design of this, on Sunday. You can spin the 4-man quarterback room in June, and everybody can buy in because you got time to fluff the whole damn conversation. You can't do that here, and it's a zero sum game. You either win the damn game, the offense looks better on Sunday, mm-hmm. or that was an act of desperation. Everything that said this week is total bunk. Yeah. Which, by the way, is how we should be leaning at this point. Every response that we hear
until proven otherwise
is loaded because they're trying to save the ship, which, by the way, is what they should be doing. But we'll see. That's really where we're at. Show me on Sunday. Like, Wyatt, you're really excited? David Njoku, you're not leaving? Not going anywhere. It's going to take the National Guard to get me out of here because I ain't going nowhere. That's how you do a Wolf
of Wall
Street.
Yeah, you've been waiting a while to do that one.
I do. It's a great movie.
I thought you were actually going to do Njoku doing Wolf of Wall Street for a second, and I wanted to hear that instead.
It would sound too much like Daryl, who was in for me earlier this week.
I wanted to hear that instead.
But, okay, we'll see, because that's what Sunday's about. 216-474-0092. Tommy, Nolan, Rich, you guys stick there. Is it more likely, now that Paul Dee Podesta is gone, that they all stay or they all go? We got plenty to get to in the 6 o'clock hour on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.